Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Civil Trials, the discussion show for the Murder Board podcast. I'm your host, Walter, and today I am joined by Shelton. Welcome back, Shelton.
Hello. Glad to be back.
And tonight we are discussing the Star Wars saga. We're only discussing the movies, but we'll touch on any extra things if we need to.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So this has been a long discussion between me and you for like
way
years.
It's so freaking long.
So the plan for this show is to get everything out there, pretty much our opinions and everything Star Wars. I mean, I feel like Star Wars is one of those things where you just can't not have enough to say about it, no matter what or how many times you've seen it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so Shelton, let's start with your overall thoughts on Star Wars, and if you can remember, give me your first impression on when you first saw Star Wars or heard about it.
Okay, so first time, like as far back as I can remember, I know that with my dad and my brothers, we went to go watch. I don't even remember which one it was. I was like real itty bitty, but I just remember like watching the ships fly and like the laser battles and the lightsaber battles and stuff, and I was just like, "Whoa, this is wild!" It was a great experience. And overall thoughts, dude. Star Wars, oh my god, I just love it. Like the tech they use, I guess force magic. this is great. It combines like futuristic themes along with like kind of a. You know, when it comes to Boba Fett and stuff like that, it gives you kind of like space western vibes. It's a bunch of things, and it just comes together so nicely.
Definitely, man. I couldn't agree more. You sound like a huge fan. I know you're a huge fan.
I love it.
Yeah. For me, Star Wars is a for me, I see, this is weird for me because I don't consider myself a fan, yet I am very much immersed into it. I'll say it this way. I like diving into the world of Star Wars, but I wouldn't call myself a fan, only because I stay strictly with the movies.
Yeah.
But my overall impressions of it is that, you know, it's Star Wars. For me, it's a film first, that first movie. I'll give my thoughts on that a little later, but A New Hope is the, you know, it's very much respectable among the film industry. It's one of the, like, the pinpoints of whenever you go into film history. Star Wars is something you have to discuss pretty much, I think, after The Godfather, you get to Star Wars, and that's where the film industry really starts to shift again. But, as far as me first seeing it, as far as my memory goes back, I believe, for me, Star Wars is something I share with my dad. I remember it had been like 2005, I believe, when Revenge of the Sith was coming out. And so before that movie came out, my dad rented all of the previous movies. And we sat like on a weekend and just watched them all. It was me, him, and my brother and my cousin, I believe. If I remember correctly, I think he did it chronologically. Like, I think we watched Phantom Menace first, and then we watched Attack of the Clones, but then we jumped to the original trilogy. I think that's how we watched it back then, but I'm completely sure. I don't really remember. But yeah, that is so. Revenge of the Sith was definitely my first Star Wars, and I want to say, even though I had saw the other ones, I didn't think I fully understood what they were until I really started getting into film, like in middle school, and then I really started to understand in high school. But so Star Wars is definitely something that's popular among the world. It's a global thing, starting off as this indie movie. Shelton, if you could elaborate more, what does Star Wars mean to you?
To me, it's just, I don't know, like combining the original trilogy with, the whole thing going on with, I honestly, I like to focus the most on just Darth Vader or Anakin's story, just because, like, you start off with the original trilogy, and he's like the big one of the big villains, right? And then, the plot twist with him being Luke's father and all that. And then you go to the prequel trilogy, and it just shows how all of that happened. And I just feel like that's like it's the only thing for me that's a prequel that I go into and I'm like, okay, I know what's gonna happen, but because of what's happening, it's just so interesting on how like everything just started off so good and went so bad so quickly.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Yeah. We're starting off agreeing with each other a lot because I do find Anakin and Darth Vader's story much more interesting than I find Luke's. But we'll just get into it. So what would you say that you like the most about Star Wars?
What I like the most, honestly, the whole like lore behind the Jedi and the Sith and the constant conflict about good and evil, the fact that like they're trying to defeat each other, but at the same time they can't really exist without each other. It's
Yeah.
just that's an awesome concept.
It's an awesome concept and a very old concept. So yeah, I have to agree. For me, Star Wars, what I like the most about it and what it means to me is that I really like what it represents. I like finding the metaphors and ex viewing it through that. To me, Star Wars is much. We'll discuss. We're going to discuss each trilogy, but mainly, I feel like the core of Star Wars is the spirituality of the Jedi and the Sith, and that whole internal and external battle that they have.
I agree.
What do you not like about Star Wars?
Ooh, see, we would have to go to the sequel trilogy for that one. Because I feel like
No.
the first two trilogies really kind of get, like, they get an established lore built with, characters that have established goals and characteristics and things like that. And the story is, it's continuous. Like you go into it and you see like, okay, so this is how this started, this is where the conflict began, and then this is how it concludes. And I feel like you don't really get that as much. Like every single movie in the sequel trilogy, you're kind of waiting to see, okay, so we understand that this is Rey's journey, but when is it going to get to the major conflict for her? And it kind of never really gets there.
Gotcha. That is a point that I find we'll get into it a lot more later on in the podcast. For right now, I think that is a point that I will try my best to argue, but I do think you're right. I do think you're right. I think that that sequel trilogy, its biggest flaw is character, while the other two trilogies, despite how anybody feels about them, they at least get the core of the characters right. I'm speaking mostly of the prequel trilogy, but so yeah. What I wanted to bring up before we started getting into the trilogies, we're going to discuss, like I said, we're going to discuss each trilogy and the movies in those trilogies, just in an overall view. But I wanted to bring up that what I've noticed this past year, I really had taken like my fourth or fifth or tenth look at Star Wars as a whole.
Jeez.
Yeah, whenever these
That's
movies
a lot
come
of
out,
looks.
yeah, whenever these movies come out, I always try and like, all right, so what is this whole thing really about? Or what is in there that I'm not seeing or that I, would like to see, if that makes sense. But what I did notice, especially after looking at The Rise of Skywalker that came out, Star Wars really it does have a thing that deals with parallels. Even George Lucas has brought this up many times, but each of the movies and each of the trilogies are meant to parallel each other. There's this big cycle that I find interesting that, Luke's story is essentially Anakin's story, and it's a perfect mirror.
Yeah.
We'll discuss what Rey's story is, but
Oh boy.
they tried. I think Rey's story gets lost in that sequel trilogy, but Kylo's is definitely mirroring both Luke and Anakin in different ways.
He's definitely the strongest character in
Yes.
that trilogy.
And but I think a lot of ums. What I think Star Wars really does, how am I trying to word this? I think what Star Wars really has trouble with, especially with these newer movies, is that since, George Lucas built this series so much on paralleling and mirroring of itself, I think these new movies, and including Rogue One and Solo, they had a problem distinguishing the fact that the difference of parallels versus repetition. And that is my biggest complaint about The Force Awakens, is that it's very much just repeating rather than paralleling and developing.
I mean, it's a shot for shot remake, basically.
Yeah, and sometimes those are fun. Just the other day, me and my brother was watching the 2013 version of Carrie. It's not shot for shot, but it's pretty close to the original Carrie. And then, we always bring up Pet Sematary, and that's it's again, it's
Ooh.
kind of shot for shot. It's just absolutely terrible. But so yeah, I feel like that is the main problem I found while reassessing these movies this past year, is that the biggest conflict behind the camera is that since Disney acquired it, they were so hell-bent on trying to update it, but also ignoring what damage Lucas did in that prequel trilogy. But no, not understanding that what Lucas did right in the prequel trilogy was delivering on the story and character parallels, while Disney, I feel, their biggest flaw was not recognizing that they weren't paralleling anything. They were just repeating things and trying to make things fit where they couldn't.
I agree with you. And what that did is that made it feel like an empty, like, shell painted to look like the older movies.
Yep, it's like someone took a cardboard soda thing, how sodas come in, soda cans come in those little cardboard things. If someone took that, put it on their head, and then painted it to be a stormtrooper, but it just you still see the sprite signals leaking through the paint. It's pretty much what it was. Okay, so let's talk about the original trilogy here.
Strong in this way.
Luke, trust me.
His computer's off. Luke, you switched off your targeting computer. What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm all right.
So the original trilogy consists of episodes 4, 5, and 6. It's Luke Skywalker's story, or I would say Luke and Leia's story. New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. So, what is your overall view on this original trilogy as a whole?
As a whole, I think that it was a, especially since, it came in like kind of in the middle of everything going on, it did a very good job of tying the story together without you feeling like you're missing a whole bunch and not leaving many gaps. Like if they decided not to make a prequel trilogy, they could have ended it there and it was pretty satisfying, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. That original trilogy does tell an entire story. I think that's the best thing about it. What I appreciate about the original trilogy is pretty much how simple yet strong the themes are. To me, it is, you know, to me, I have high respect for the original trilogy, but it's not my favorite. It's not the ones I usually go back to watch.
Yeah, I need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a generational thing. You know, me and you weren't around when these movies were coming out. They're more of our parents' generation's movies, which is kind of why Star Wars has like stayed in the spotlight for so many years. But you know, I again, I still respect the movies and I still have fun watching them. What so I you know I try to look for the themes and about it, and it's very straightforward. It's your typical hero's journey. For anybody who knows like writing or just basic story stuff, you know, it's a call to action type thing. Luke is your average hero, and he's you know the white knight in shining armor, and he's given a chance to go on an adventure, and he ends up becoming like the chosen one. He gets his little sidekick with Obi-Wan and Han, or Obi-Wan's more of the mentor. You know, it's pretty, again, it's pretty straightforward. I don't think there's too much we could
Yeah.
say about the original trilogy that no one else has. What I will
Yeah.
say is, I do find it, I do find the most interesting about the original trilogy is the Eastern spirituality and religion of it, and how all together, all three of those movies are about fate and destiny. And overall, just having faith and how faith can kind of just save the day or just provide, or faith can provide strength to anybody.
Yeah, it's very built around like hope and trying to keep that alive so that then you're able to succeed instead of giving up.
Yeah, it, you know, yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. What is your favorite out of these, this original trilogy? What is your favorite movie?
Honestly, I think Return of the Jedi for
Oh,
sure.
really?
Yeah, I don't know that. Last, like everything wrapping up, and then like the plot twist with Vader and Luke. It's just, I don't know, it's so good. It's that whole like ending battle with the Death Star, and then just it's all so good. I love it. And I like big, intense battles, and that definitely brought that to the table
Yeah.
for sure.
Definitely, that is probably the biggest that original trilogy really got.
Yeah.
And just for out of curiosity, what would you say is your least favorite?
My least favorite? I'd say the first one. Which
A New Hope.
what's it called? Yeah, just because like I don't know, kind of slow getting into things, you know. But at the same time, it was the very first one that came out, so it's understandable that it's going to be like a lot of story building and development.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll have to say, yeah, A New Hope is definitely, well, Okay, my favorite out of this original trilogy is The Empire Strikes Back. I think it's the best movie out of that trilogy. It has, to me, it took everything about that original movie and elevated it, and while also advancing the story. I think Luke is a much more relatable character in that movie. Because, you know, in that first one, he's just the whiny kind of guy. But then he's like, okay, I'm good at something and I'm on this adventure. Let me, you know, he's your average, like, main character in that one. But in Return of the, not Return of the Jedi, in Empire Strikes Back, you really start to get the complexity and the emotion of Luke. And I think Mark Hamill is just genuinely, like, good in that movie.
He's so good in that
He
movie.
really, and he's acting off of a puppet and a robot the entire time.
Mark Hamill is talented.
Oh, yes. And, you know, yeah, like Empire Strikes Back, definitely my favorite. I love Yoda. Yoda's was one of my favorite characters for like a long time.
Yoda is
He's
amazing.
absolutely hilarious in that movie. So is R2. And you know, we get our first black guy in the galaxy in that movie too, with Lando. Mad respect
Oh
for that
yeah,
one.
Lando.
Yeah. My I want to say my least favorite is. I'm gonna say my least favorite is Return of the Jedi.
Really?
Yes, and you know, I was gonna say A New Hope, but I have to, after giving it its props, I do have to say, as I again, I am a film fan first, so that first Star Wars holds such a royalty when you look at film throughout the years. It is a pinpoint on a lot of people's timelines in film history. But when you get to Return of the Jedi, for me personally, that movie just bores the crap out of me for large parts. I love, and it's because one of my favorite moments of Star Wars ever is the beginning of that movie. The first, I want to say the first 20 to 30 minutes of Jabba's palace on Tatooine. And you got this, it's pretty much like a heist movie. They're trying to get Han's body back, hoping he's not completely dead. And, you know, it's just this elaborate thing. It takes its time. You know, Jabba it feels like the Godfather in space to me.
I love Jabba though.
Jabba is hilarious, Jabba. But yet he's so ruthless because he was just trap door for you. Oh no, you get melted.
He was ruthless.
He was legit like a gangster, and yeah, that I love that whole, you know, that whole sequence. I like the part where they're on, you know, they're above the Sarlacc pit. And it's a joke Family Guy made fun of, but everybody's just nodding at each other. But, and then, you know,
I really enjoyed that
one. Yeah, but then for me, after, you know, they leave Jabba's palace and he goes back to Dagobah just to watch Yoda die. But, you know, to me, after that point, it just kind of drags, and we're just waiting to get to the end. And I do like the final battle between Luke, Vader, and Emperor Palpatine, or the Emperor at that time. But, yeah, that's just me. But I am genuinely surprised. I didn't know you liked the Return of the Jedi so much.
Yeah, Return of the Jedi. It's a classic. It's iconic. You look back at Star Wars and, like, a lot of scenes that you're going to remember from that.
That is true, yes.
Like, even people who've never watched Star Wars will know, you know, the whole, Luke, I am your father. No! Like, you know.
Yeah. All right, so let's shift into the prequel trilogy, bro.
Your thoughts dwell on your mother.
I miss her.
Afraid to lose her, I think.
What has that got to do with anything?
Everything. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. I sense much fear in you.
So this is the ones.
Actually, my favorite trilogy.
Oh, really? Yeah. So.
Yeah.
You know, a while back, if we would have went back to like 2014, 2013, that would have been some controversial words, sir.
Oh, I still think it's unpopular.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people do not think this. Like, they think it's fun and they enjoy it, but they don't think it's that good.
That is understandable, and
yeah.
And I think, you know, for a while I was always saying, like, you know, I'm an advocate for the prequels, and you know, they're the prequels are the movies I go back to every time there's a Star Wars coming out. Like, you know, Force Awakens was coming out, I went immediately to the prequel trilogy before I even thought about that original trilogy. One, because
yeah,
it just,
that's exactly what I did.
I think for us is a timeline and a generational thing. You know, we grew up on these movies, these versions of Star Wars. But also, you know, it's the beginning of the timeline, so you want to start at the beginning. Right. Because in that original trilogy, there's a lot of payoff that happens from that prequel trilogy transferring over into to that original trilogy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So the prequel trilogy was a lot easier to assess, maybe because I've just lived with these movies longer. I know them. But what I got from the prequel trilogy is that it's all about bureaucracy and government. That is legit the Jedi. Is it the it's called the New Republic, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
The New Republic is all about this. It's interesting because it's this systematic religion and spirituality. They took something that we were, you know, in that original trilogy, people are taught the Force is this spiritual, all-knowing, all-being type force that helps everyone, and there's, you know, special people that can use it at will. So in that prequel trilogy, it's a fun and interesting juxtaposition that you have this systematic and controlled environment for something that's supposed to be so free and you know, over everything. And they took religion and spirituality and pretty much put it into a can, to pull up a reference from Monsters, Inc. That's the only, the only movie I'm thinking about for some reason. But, you know, it's
Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, it's random. But, yeah, it's pretty much what they did. And, you know, it's fine. It's fun watching how that worked and then also watching how that fell. Because essentially, you know, you take something, you know, it's like in real life, you know, people have their beliefs, God or whoever you believe in. But, you know, once it becomes this profitable and organized thing, it, you know, it can easily become overblown and not even about what the religion is or the belief system. And, you know, if it gets deep enough, it could become a cult.
Right.
And another thing that really helps the prequels when you look back on it is that George Lucas, who directed all three movies, if you didn't know, he only directed A New Hope in that original trilogy, and he had other people direct Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. But for the prequel trilogy, he directed all three himself and wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what he does when dealing about the ethics of emotions. And I feel like in all three of those movies, there is a moment or two or four that he takes it, you know, out of all the chaos he has going on in that, out of all the things he has going on in those movies, mm-hmm. he does stop once in a while and ask the audience, you know, do emotions require ethics? And I think that is a interesting question. So I want to ask you, Shelton, looking back at that prequel trilogy, before we go into our favorite movie and everything, what is your answer to that question when you're looking at the prequel trilogy? Do emotions require ethics?
I think at the end of the day, no, because, you know, the whole ending, like, if it kind of asks that question throughout the trilogy, but when you get to the end, it kind of gives you that sort of answer when you know, Anakin's so angry and he starts turning to the dark side and Obi-Wan's trying to reason with him, it, like, his emotions are completely clouding any, like, judgment he has or any ethics he had before. So I think it definitely answers that question itself by saying, like, if you feel a certain way about something so strongly, your emotions will ignore your ethics.
That is an interesting take. Yeah, I do feel like it does give that answer. For me personally, because I really like Anakin as a character and his tragedy, you know, whether or not it was executed very well, you know, that's debatable and it can be talked about. But I think, in that prequel trilogy, the core of the character and the story is still there. It's still the main focus. And, you know, like we said, it does give that answer. But I feel like it can be argued when you're looking at the Jedi versus, you know, in that prequel trilogy, there's not really Sith. They're just, like, separatist, and it is very governmental instead of a dictatorship. I don't even think it's a democracy, yes. really. It's more of just like a...
It's like... It has a coat of paint on it that says democracy, but it's
really... It's really monarchy, isn't it? Because there's kings and queens of planets.
Yeah, like leaders and... Yeah.
Yeah, so... Again.
And they kind of... It's more they control what happens on the planet, and they have advisors than it is they vote. It's just the council that votes all together.
Yeah, because like... You know, I was looking back at like something like Attack the Clones, and it's like, you know, the Jedi are pretty much just like police, while you have like these government officials, and they're just kind of like,
yeah,
they pop in and out of planets like health inspectors, like, hey, is this working right? Oh, this does. Oh, there's
for a while, like, but in between, like, let's say whenever the Force Awakens came out. You know, that came out and it like kind of relit the fire under me with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just brought all those memories back. And when I went back to the prequel trilogy that first time, then I was like, dang, Jedis really are like, some of them are just like advisor type people, but a lot of them are just soldiers. And it's kind
of
insane.
Yeah. Like a lot of Jedi die in those movies.
So many
die. Just like, it's just regular police. They're just like, you know, there's just like a whole traffic scene in Attack the Clones where it's like, okay, so that guy has a light stick just to move cars around. But it's very interesting how that came out to be. So what would you say is your favorite movie from the prequel trilogy? We have episode 1, Phantom Menace, episode 2, Attack of the Clones, and episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Really? Revenge of the Sith is my favorite, but The Phantom Menace is really close. I love The Phantom Menace.
Really?
Like I love it. The beginning is very slow, but once you get like to the pod racing scene and everything after that, like when Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan are fighting Darth Maul, that scene was amazing.
It really was, yeah.
So good. But Revenge of the Sith has to take it just because as everything starts to like kind of turn sour, you know, you have that whole storyline with Obi-Wan trying to save Anakin from the dark side. And it's weird because it's like Obi-Wan tries to give off that kind of fatherly role, but for Anakin just kind of sees it as a like more of an older brother talking down to him.
Yes.
And it just pushes him away more. And it's just amazing to watch all of that happen.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I'm glad you brought that up. Cause I was wondering if anyone ever like saw this, because throughout the Phantom Menace, whenever Obi-Wan and little Anakin ever have any screen time together, they really don't. But whenever they do, you know, they do play it like they're brothers, but then you get to like Attack of the Clones. They're like, yeah, they're more of, you know, they're war buddies, they're brothers. We get to Revenge of the Sith, and it's like, oh wait, Obi-Wan's trying to be a dad now, and that's not the relationship. So you go with Anakin's point of view more of like, you know, spend all this time with this one person who's been on the equal playing field as you, and now that you want the title to be on the equal playing field of Jedi Master, and he's a part of that council that won't give you that title, you know, suddenly you're not seeing a equal brother anymore. You're seeing a father. You're seeing a father who's reluctant and holding you back. To continue what you were saying, Revenge of the Sith is definitely my favorite out of this prequel trilogy. Not only because it was the first one I saw, but you know, the movie does have flaws. A lot of these prequels, a lot of the prequel movies do have flaws.
They do
have, I think,
undeniably.
Honestly, and I got this from listening to another podcast I listened to, but the whole entire prequel trilogy could be crammed into two movies. Because, and, you know, revealing my hand here, I don't like The Phantom Menace. I think again, much like Return of the Jedi, the movie is boring until the end. Jar Jar, I tried, you know, we're not going to talk about Jar Jar.
Okay, yeah, I don't.
We don't talk about Jar Jar. Stop,
please, because Jar Jar is so, so bad. Yeah. He's so bad.
Yeah, it is my least favorite. I have a certain warmness when it comes to Attack of the Clones, though, because that is the one I feel like I watch the most out of this prequel trilogy, because I find that one interesting. I don't necessarily like it, but I don't necessarily hate it. And I like the fact that, or I'm not going to say I'm drawn into the fact that it's the whole thesis of that movie is that, you know, Jedi aren't allowed. Again, it's the whole emotions thing, you know, ethics and emotions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the movie where it really starts to, argue against itself. Because, you know, Anakin and Padme, their relationship is forbidden, but they're also, like, you know, they're doing the whole natural love story romance thing, frolicking in the field.
About that.
Yeah.
I've never seen a relationship so, like, it's so cute, but it's so awkward at the same time.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Natalie Portman does not help at all.
Not at all.
A lot of people like to blame Hayden Christensen. And again, these were his first movies, but he had movies come out before these movies because they took so long in pre-production. And he was good in the movies that came out before this. And a lot of people were like, all right, so we're really excited for Hayden Christensen. But then you get to the prequels and it's like, oh, this is definitely his first time acting anywhere. He's got this thick New York accent he's trying to hide with a British one.
Yeah.
And again, you got Natalie Portman just does not want to be there. I don't know why she does franchise movies.
They didn't help each other out.
They dearly didn't. It's like, it's the characters at their core had chemistry, but the actors were trying. I'm going to say one of the actors were trying their best. Again, I don't know why Natalie Portman does franchise movies and just does not want to be in them whenever the sequel comes around. I'm looking at Thor.
Like, I know that, like, Padme's thing is supposed to be the whole deadpan kind of. She's very emotional, but at the same time expresses the minimum.
Yeah.
But it's like, in those love scenes, you could give a little more.
You really can.
Like, you know, you're supposed to be in love with this guy. You're not looking at him deadpan. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah. You're supposed to be in love with this guy who you knew as a kid, who's probably like 10 years younger than you. I don't know the exact age.
That's something that kind of threw me off, too, when I rewatched it. I was like, what's that age difference, though?
Yeah, like, he was like 10, I want to say, I'm being generous by saying he's about 10. I think he was actually, like, on the verge of, like, 7 or 8. But he was, like, 10 years old when they met. She was, like, 14. And then, what, 10 years passed between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, and, whoop, he's, like, an adult now. Or really, like, I think he's still a teenager. He's huge, though. He's tall because Darth Vader is tall. And that was a funny, like, if you ever look at the behind the scenes, Hayden Christensen's boots. Hayden Christensen is already tall, but his boots are just inched up. It reminds me of if you ever watch those. If you ever watch, and it's to all the audience out there, if you ever go back and watch the original X-Men movies, pay attention to how Cyclops stands and where he's placed in every scene, because he is the shortest actor in that cast.
Oh, yeah.
They had him standing on milk cartons next to Hugh Jackman, who was tall. And
yeah, because Hugh Jackman, Wolverine's supposed to be like shorter than most people.
No, and then it's like that entire X-Men cast. Famke Jensen and Jean Grey is a tall woman. Halle Berry is a fairly tall woman. And you got James Marsden, who is just this short Tom Cruise size actor standing on milk cartons or like crates trying to be serious. Look at YouTube those behind the scenes things and you'll be able to like catch where they place those. But again, they did the same thing to Hayden Christensen. Hayden Christensen's already tall, but they had to inch him up more just so they, you know, you make sure Darth Vader is tall. But that prequel trilogy, for all its flaws, I do like its meaning. I think it has a very strong argument when it comes to the government side, although be it that government stuff is kind of boring. But I do like the whole...
I was interested in it.
Yeah, like, it's interesting.
But we all know that I would be.
Yeah, yeah. You're very much into the political side of things. Being more drawn into the emotion and spiritual side. I think that that prequel trilogy leaves you satisfied at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Even though that, you know, I think The Phantom Menace is too long of a movie. You know,
it is really
long. It is. The prequel trilogy should have been just two movies. The whole entire Phantom Menace should have just been like, when they meet Anakin, and then to the end of the fight with Darth Maul. Or honestly, they could have just had Darth Maul be on the whole movie. Could have just been set on Tatooine. I don't know why they
could have ended it after Darth Maul.
Yeah, like, you know, that's a good, like, if you cut everything out and I think you place it together, that's a good like half an hour. Like, that's a good 30 minutes, and then you jump, you know, in the middle of the movie, you just jump to the events of Attack of the Clones, and it's like, all right, so that was a prologue, and here's the actual story.
Yeah.
I do like Attack of the Clones, though. I like Obi-Wan's little detective side story he has there when he finds out about the Clone Army.
Man. that whole, it's so tense, too.
It is very.
Because it's like, you know that he knows, and then they know that he knows they know. It's just, oh. You never know when it's going to start popping off, and you just know it's coming at the same time.
Exactly.
And the whole thing with, like, Boba Fett, and he had the little clone that he made his kid.
Yeah.
And they were, like, working. Oh, that was just, it was so good.
It was nice knowing that before they went to droids, they had clones. Or, no, they had droids, but they were going to clones. And then when you get to the original, they're just using, like, irregular soldiers. So it's nice. It's nice seeing that that chain of command in, like, army forces. That's the way I would word it. All right, so we're gonna move into the sequel trilogy now.
Let the past die. Kill it if you have to. That's the only way to become what you were meant to be.
Here we go.
All right, I'll let you start off. Your overall thoughts on this, on the sequel trilogy.
My overall thoughts, I think it started off strong with Force Awakens. It kind of, it was very pretty much shot for shot of A New Hope. But at the same time, like, it gave you something to start with, you know. Okay, they did this, but now they can build off of this and do their own thing with elements from Star Wars to kind of make it, like, bolster it. And then The Last Jedi comes. And they're just like, hey, you remember all that stuff we built up? Well, forget about it. We're not using some of that. And we're just going to make it really pretty. And then Rise of Skywalker, I don't know. It was, like, heavy course correction mixed with, like, just tons of nostalgia and, like, fan service that was done so horribly that it meant nothing. And then at the end of the series, you're not really left with much of a meaning to anything.
Well, other than that, the name Skywalker is something you can just take now, but
yeah, you know, we're all Skywalkers.
It's pretty much like, and to be honest, it's like, do I even want to be a Skywalker now?
Honestly.
But I do understand your point. I do think that it started off to a strong start, despite not... I'm going to say, overall for me, the sequel trilogy is a mixed bag of... I'm going to go back to my earlier statement. It is, you know, it's Disney Star Wars. They didn't understand the difference between the parallels and repetition. I think that's its main problem. But, you know, I have to say I do enjoy it. As a whole, I do enjoy the sequel trilogy. I'm gonna say I don't enjoy it as much as I do the prequel trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the sequel trilogy is below average. It's probably the weakest trilogy. but I still think it has some strong points.
Yeah, like how pretty it is.
No. For me, the theme of the prequel trilogy comes in, it's not outwardly spoken because all three movies are just not cohesive enough to be. That is all. Another problem is that the sequel trilogy does not click together. They don't piece together like the other trilogies have. But
that's what makes me dislike it so much.
Yeah, it is very, honestly, it is very annoying. So instead of like finding a outright theme, I had to look at the quotes from the movies because that's how disjointed it was. But overall,
nothing like looking up some, doing some research to figure out what the movie's.
Yeah, about. Like you know, I don't even have to watch the original trilogy or the prequel trilogy to understand that after watching it the first few times I did. Even at a younger age, I understand, okay, so this is what the theme is, what it's about. That sequel trilogy, I had to look up quotes in order to piece together a statement. But for me, what I gathered from the sequel trilogy is that it's about fighting for what you love rather than against what you hate. That is a literal line Rose says in The Last Jedi.
That's how we're gonna win. Not fighting what we hate. Saving what we love.
Overall, that sequel trilogy is dealing with the struggles of generational value and definition, but it's also asking itself and the audience, remember Star Wars? What's Star Wars to you? Do you like Star Wars still? Like, that is the whole entire trilogy. And, you know, it's, to me, that is not a bad way to go, especially nowadays.
It's not.
But they did it so poorly that...
They used that way too much. Like, if they had that and then something else to tag along with it, it could have been a strong overarching, like, you know, thing to end
on. It really could.
It couldn't stand alone just on that.
It really couldn't. And again, it's because all three movies, they didn't have a plan. And to be fair, George Lucas, no, not going to be fair. Because George Lucas had a plan when he did the first one. He said, yo, this is the story. He had it all mapped out. At least he had that original trilogy mapped out. He knew where the story points were. You know, if you didn't know the details, he knew where everything was going to lead up to. They went into the sequel trilogy being like, yeah, we just bought Star Wars. Yeah, let's just go ahead and do it. And we'll figure it out as we go.
At the same time, though, George Lucas was heavily involved in the beginning. And he did already have the trilogy, like, he had... basic outline for how he would like it to go, but they completely scrapped that and it just went downhill from there.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Lucas's idea for a sequel trilogy was to follow the Skywalker kids. I think they took that idea and just said, we'll cut it in half and then we'll just figure it out as we go. But again, I mean, to me, when I first heard that was his plan, I think that came out around the time of Force Awakens, I was thinking, no, I don't think anybody wants to see that. And then we saw The Force Awakens. And, you know, funny story, we saw The Force Awakens together totally by, like, accident. Yep. We were just in the same theater at the same time.
I remember that, yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah. I'm trying to, like, figure out I want to stay kind because I do really like the sequel trilogy. But there's just so much wrong with it.
Mm-hmm. There's so much wrong with it.
But, so, yeah, the quotes I had to look at was, you know, in Force Awakens, we have Max von Sydow, RIP. If people might know him from, I think his most famous role was from The Exorcist. He played the main priest. But, you know, at the beginning of The Force Awakens, he says, you know, this will begin to make it right.
This will begin to make things right.
Obvious, if that's the first line Disney is saying, hey, guys, we got you. George Lucas is not going to mess up the series again. And, you know, me and you are looking at the screen like, Revenge of the Sith wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
But, you know, to all those 90s and maybe 80s adults who were like, you know, that was a disgrace against Star Wars. Completely understandable. It's not Star Wars you grew up with. But, you know, I feel like in that quote right there, that gives you where Disney's arrogance comes from. When they started out, mm-hmm. And I do think why I don't like The Force Awakens as much after watching it over these years. I liked it when it came out. You know, we tried the podcasting thing at that point too. It was just us eating chicken saying, yeah, we like Star Wars.
Pretty much.
But, you know, after watching it over and over at home, I really am paying attention to it more. I don't like The Force Awakens because it is, you know, shot for shot A New Hope. But it also, to me, it is a very arrogant movie. It is Disney saying, we're going to take care of Star Wars, but first we're going to give you everything you love about Star Wars first and not give you the actual story until, really, they don't give you a story until halfway through because Kylo Ren's the only person that has a story in the entire trilogy.
Pretty much. Well, Finn did have the most interesting story in that first, in the beginning. Like, when they fake it out with him being the main character and it ends up being Rey, it's like, okay, cool. So we're following a stormtrooper who gained his autonomy and broke free, and now he wants to run away as far as he can, but now he's tied into the rebel forces. So now we get to watch his journey into switching sides and have a perspective on someone who was, like, you know, on the Sith side. And that was, I think if they would have rolled with that, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. So you think Finn should have stayed the main character?
I think it would have definitely worked out better because that whole concept was extremely interesting, different, but at the same time, they could use a ton of, like, established lore and, like, some continuity to make it flow.
Yes, you know? And I'm going to say I completely agree with you because before this recording, they released The Rise of Skywalker on Disney Plus. I've watched it 3 times. I'm not lying. I've watched it 3 times on Disney Plus. I'm going to tell you, after watching that movie and trying to pick out what the conclusion that they tried to give these characters were, Finn should have been the main character of this entire sequel trilogy. I will say that because his story should have been the main focus. I think you still could have had Rey in there. And I think if it was me, if I could go back in time and replace, you know, let's say J.J. Abrams slips on an ice cube somewhere and they need a new director. Let's get a young one. Let me step in there. I would have made Finn the main character and I would have cut Rey out of that entire movie and brought her in The Last Jedi. And that way, and I'll tell you this why, because if you look at the behind the scenes and the information that they had, that Lucas had when he did Empire going into Return of the Jedi, he states that Leia was not meant to be Luke's sister. Lucas had another person lined up, another character that he wanted to introduce in the last movie to be Luke's sister, but then they, you know, script cleanups, totally understandable. They were like, let's just condense it all into this another character that we have here. And, you know, the whole time Leia was supposed to be considered a general. She was supposed to be this queen, but they made her a Force-using Jedi, which is fine. But I think if they should have took that story that they had for a separate sister and gave it to Rey and put it in the latter two of these sequel movies. I think that would have been a great, it would have given Rey the mystery that they wanted to give her while also having the main story not be sidetracked with just emptiness. Because I think, I think Finn should have been our main character. One, the title of the movie is called The Force Awakens. If we spend the first 30 minutes of the movie of the Stormtrooper awakening, everybody's going to say, okay, it's the Force. This guy is Force sensitive. He goes around the movie. You know, he's the first one to pick up the light. Well, he's not the first one to pick up the lightsaber, but he's always the one ready to fight.
He's first. Yeah.
You know, I feel like you could have given all of that to Finn and you could have made it this, you know, the whole thing with Kylo Ren. I understand why it would have been weird to have Finn do everything that Rey does when her connection with Kylo Ren in that first movie. I feel like that that probably would have been weird. But I feel like it still could have worked in a way. Or, again, I would say, because we don't really get that connection until, like, the end of the second half of The Force Awakens. And, yeah, so yeah. I would say, again, if I were to rewrite that movie, Finn should have stayed the main character, and in the background you have Rey having this secret, mysterious connection with Kylo Ren, and, oh, she's Force sensitive, and that way the audience would better understand, like, okay, they're taking Star Wars, they want to be inclusive, they want to start with the Force reawakening after so many years. Yeah, have it reawaken in Finn, who would just start off as a stormtrooper. One, like, that's character development in itself. You have a stormtrooper and he breaks away from the First Order. That's your story. That's your entire movie. Like, that is interesting.
That's an amazing.
It really is. And, you know, just have Rey in the background be like, yo, I can sense this fool. And then, you know, all right, we'll save her for the next movie. That should have been the route they went. But again,
honestly, I think that even if they kept Rey as the Jedi, I still think they could have kept Finn as the main character. Just because his, like, with how Rey was, it's like, yes, she was the Jedi, but does being a Jedi necessarily mean you have to be the main character? You know what I mean? And I think they could have really gone at that approach.
Yeah. I do agree with that, too. You could have had, you know, it's like pretty much, you know, you're just swapping characters. Have Finn be the new Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he's the Leia.
And they could, I swear, if they would have had that stuff going on with Kylo Ren and Rey, not the romantic stuff, because honestly, I thought that was really awkward. It felt like more of a sibling type thing. But if you had, like, Kylo Ren and Rey's connection, and with him trying to pull her away, and then Finn fighting back, because let's be honest, he liked her. He was feeling her.
Yeah. Let's be real. In that first movie, yes.
So that love triangle would have been amazing.
Yeah.
You know, with their Force connection drawing her to the dark side and Finn kind of trying to be there to pull her back out, that would have been so,
like,
good.
Yeah, like, sticking Rey in the middle and her having to decide between, you know, again, I'm as we're talking about this, I kind of see why that would probably be not okay with people these days, because you have a girl in the middle. And she's just trying to, it's pretty much, you just have a girl being like, which man do I decide with? But I feel like there is a way you could execute it to the point of where it's not that.
It wouldn't have to be, like, completely romantic anyway. Like, Finn, they did portray Finn to have a crush on her, but that could have been the side thing. Whereas Kylo Ren just wanted her on his side for power, kind of like how Palpatine did with Vader. And that would have been a perfect way to not do the whole, which man do I want to date? And at the same time, give everybody a complex story.
Speaking of complex story,
their own motives.
We're going to get into Kylo Ren. But before we do, I do want to ask you, you know, out of this entire sequel trilogy, which one do you like the most? Which I think you've already answered this question, but just go ahead and give it out.
Hello there.
General Kenobi.
My favorite is definitely The Force Awakens, because it just sets everything up so perfectly. And it has, like, it's the closest one to having, like, a cohesive story. Rise of Skywalker is definitely the worst. It's just, it doesn't know what it wants to be. And it has so much trouble. It's like nailed on a chalkboard till you get to the end, the whole way through for me. But The Last Jedi... it's a close runner-up to Force Awakens, just because the whole story with Kylo Ren having his complex little, which side should I be on, and then him and Rey fighting Snoke and his guards, an amazing scene. And the whole movie is so beautiful. It's stunning to look at, but it doesn't feel like it has much of a story to offer besides Kylo Ren's arc.
That's understandable. I can definitely understand that. For me, my favorite at this trilogy is The Last Jedi. It is also after, you know, ever since The Last Jedi came out, but really I decided after the Rise of Skywalker came out, the Last Jedi is definitely my favorite Star Wars movie. It surpassed, it used to be Empire.
Wow.
It surpassed Empire for me. And I understand this movie has immense flaws. It does waste an hour at a planet that didn't even matter.
Don't get me started on the casino planet. Oh my god!
I don't. You know that is it. It wastes a whole hour and two characters, and it the entire main plot of the movie is a slow race through space.
So bad.
But here's why I love the Last Jedi. Despite those flaws, they all play into the main point of the movie. And the main point of The Last Jedi is saying, F Star Wars, let's make something different.
That's a horrible main point.
I think it is but to me, yeah, again, like I said, I don't consider myself a fan. I don't really die by the lore or the lifestyle of Star Wars. I appreciate the story. I respect the story, but I only care about what it means. And The Last Jedi, to me, is the only movie that I understand what the director is saying. And you know, those original ones, they're just all about the story of Luke. Mm-hmm. The prequels, like we said, they're more about the emotion, and they're questioning the characters that they have on screen. But mm-hmm. the sequel trilogy, I feel like, is really just commenting on Star Wars itself. All three do this in a way. Force yeah. Awakens, it is definitely about reintroducing the world, Star Wars to the world. You know, it's just a reintroduction into that world and, you know, what everything is while also providing mystery to it. But The Last Jedi, to me, is finally someone is taking a deconstruction to Star Wars and is, you know, I don't want to say it's adult, but it is kind of adult by saying, like, all right, what does Star Wars actually have to offer in today? And I do like that approach. The Last Jedi is directed by Rian Johnson. He is really great at this kind of thing. You know, I know you haven't seen all of his movies, but
yeah,
I feel like his movies are known. Looper, it's a time travel movie. You know, I love time travel. He kind of does the same thing there. That movie is more character driven. But, you know, he's asking really decisive, controversial questions about, you know, can oneself be trusted at one point in time while thinking about it at this point in time. And then he has another movie, one of his first ones, Brick. It is a great murder mystery, but it's, you know, it's take place in, like, the rural 90s, but they're all speaking like it's 1920. And, you know, it's just a bunch of teenagers out of high school. So it kind of feels like if you gave a high school kid a camera and said, make an Agatha Christie mystery, and they knew nothing about it. You know, that's how the movie kind of comes off. But it's really smart that way. And, you know, this past year, Knives Out, me and co-host Savannah, we saw it. He does the same thing in that one. He takes a mystery and flips it and says, all right, we're, you know, it's not a whodunit. It's more right. about, you know, why. And I like that. I like that Star Wars is this deconstruction of it all.
I need to give my input on that whole, you know, the whole director's subplot of, you know, screw Star Wars. What does it really mean? Blah, blah, blah. You know, is it really relevant to current day? Does it matter? That type of thing. My biggest issue is, like, again, if we go back to the whole, you know, the actress that plays Padme, like, why would you join a franchise if you don't want to, like, be in it? Same thing for Rian Johnson. Why would you make a Star Wars movie if you don't like Star Wars to the point of, I'm going to destroy this trilogy? Because that's essentially what he did. Because after he did The Last Jedi, they had to do such critical, like, so much course correction that it just completely butchered The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And that's what bugs me the most about it.
My thing is, he's not... No, go ahead.
Like, you could have just produced a different movie, man. Or directed, I mean, a different movie. Why would you go into something just because it's like, you know what? This isn't that big of a deal. Screw this.
Yeah. So I don't think that was his point, though. I think with The Last Jedi, he's not saying he hates Star Wars. I think he's actually a big fan. But I am saying that he took it, you know, everybody, when The Force Awakens came out, the way J.J. Abrams did that, it was all about that good feeling that Star Wars gives you. So what Ryan, I feel like what he tried to do was give the audience like, all right, we know you feel good about Star Wars, but what are you actually feeling good about when it comes to Star Wars? And he gives you, you know, it's like he took the Empire Strikes Back and said, all right, let's give everything subversive about it and just crank it up and make that the entire movie.
Yeah.
And
which would have been fine if it had a cohesive story.
Which I do think it does. It's a movie about failure. Another movie that did this whole and pretty much did the same thing that I don't like is Avengers Endgame. It's Avengers Endgame. You know, it's a movie about failing and correcting that, while the Last Jedi is about failing and then making a decision after that. You know,
with that comparison, though, at least in Endgame, there's like a beginning, a middle, and an end that runs together and moves somewhere. You know, it actually goes from point A to point B. It feels like in The Last Jedi, we're going from point A to point B, but we kind of get stuck in the middle for most of the movie, and then all of a sudden we're at B. That's what it feels like.
Which, understandable, but in the middle, that's where all the debate is. That's where all the pondering, which again, pondering may not always be a good thing, but I do, that's where you get most of the thought. You know, you have this argument slash, like, I guess it is just an argument, but you got this thing with Rey and Kylo, you get Ben's backstory, and you also have like Luke in the middle there recounting his past and his mistakes. And then, you know, all on the other side, you have Leia and Poe and Laura Dern for some reason doing the exact same thing. And, you know, Poe is taught a lesson and Luke is taught a lesson. And again, I think the movie does have problems still, because Rey does, it seems like she runs out of story in the middle there.
Oh yeah.
You know, at the same time, you know, again, we're not bringing up Canto Bight, but on the ship, Poe does learn a lesson. He learns, you know, and a lot of people tried to make it seem like, oh, we have women in charge to tell the men that they're impulsive or whatever. No, Poe had a point. He had a great point, but, you know, the women had a point too. But Poe's lesson was that sometimes, you know, going guns a-blazing is not always their best choice when we have so little ships and so little people left and we need a base to go to.
All of that could have been avoided with basic communication skills. For people who were generals and or whatever at high command, like, they, basic communication is something they should be accustomed to. And the fact that it was just like, no, shut up, sit down. It's like, what? Come on. You need your subordinates to be on board with what you're doing, or else you're not going to have a good coordinated team. And that's like rule number one of leading anyone.
Again, true, but Poe was, I don't think Poe was the nicest person in that movie, because again, he is just out, you know, first cannon to go boom. He's the first one in his ship going, let's go get him. It's like, no, wait,
right.
People are dying. Yeah, I really do love The Last Jedi and what it means. I do think its strongest parts are with Kylo Ren and Rey. Although Rey just kind of screams the entire movie, which is what I was saying about The Force Awakens. You could have saved Rey. You could have had her kept in the background, maybe up until the very end, in Force Awakens, and then brought her and give her that story and that mystery in this movie. And then it would, because it would make the impact of Kylo saying, "Oh, your parents were nobodies," much more emotionally like gripping, that she had waited so long and the audience had waited so long to figure out who is this chick. And it's like, nobody. It's a gut punch, but I feel like it could have been a much greater gut punch.
It could have definitely had more meaning. I feel like in this, it's just like, with how much buildup it was for that type of answer, it was like, oh, guys, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? Oh, joke's on you. Nothing.
Which, it's again, like, oh, okay. I feel like it should have been, I feel like that should have stayed the right, I feel like that's the right answer. Because, you know, Force Awakens came out, everybody was like, oh, she's Luke's daughter. No, she's Obi-Wan's granddaughter. Like, no, I was pretty fine with her just being absolutely no one. And again,
it would have worked.
Yeah.
It would have. But I think they needed to give a little bit more. Like, we knew nothing about her parents at all. So to just be like they're nobody without giving any explanation, like, were they nobody because they were peasants? Were they nobody because they were slaves? Like, you know what I mean? What makes them nobody?
Yeah.
It seems like just saying that they are nobody and her just accepting that is more of a manipulation tactic to get her where he wanted than actual story development.
Yeah, yeah, true. But again, I think I feel like that's all on J.J. Abrams and the way he set everything up in Force Awakens.
He left it way too open-ended.
Yeah, he... And man, I don't like J.J. Abrams as a director too much because he's way too broad when it comes to mysteries. And it's funny because I just got done praising Rian Johnson for being way too detailed and mean.
Yeah.
He is definitely more detailed and straightforward when it comes to how he feels about things. But, okay, so I don't want to spend too much time on the Rise of Skywalker. Because
we could.
Because, yeah. And it again, what hasn't been said about it? But let's just go through this.
Yeah.
What? I don't even know how to start this. Rise of Skywalker. What upsets you the most? Overall.
Oh, God. It makes me... the worst possible thing is the fact that Palpatine's brought back. And if you go into like behind the scenes things and stuff like that, like they literally say, well, you know, the main villain in the older movies was Palpatine, so we felt like it was only natural to end with it being Palpatine.
It was a horrible answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what kind of answer is that? You could have just told us you didn't have any ideas, so you just reached into the box of assets and pulled out something. It's just horrible. And there's no explanation on how he came back. There's no explanation on how he got that huge army. There's no explanation on how he was manipulating Rey. We get an answer about who her parents were. Apparently they aren't nobody now, all of a sudden. It's just... It just destroyed... One, okay, so... The Last Jedi, I mean, did destroy a lot of the story, but it's like... It's like they tried to one-up it and be like, huh, well, guess what, Last Jedi? We're going to destroy some of your story, too. It's just... It felt like a one-up contest. Like, you know, Last Jedi came and was like, hey, what's it called? Force Awakened, yeah. We're going to ruin some of your story and do our own thing. And then Rise of Skywalker comes and says, oh, hey, Last Jedi, we're going to ruin some of your story and do our own thing, too. And it makes a mess worse when it could have easily been cleaned up.
Yeah, and again, defending The Last Jedi, I say, you know, because Force Awakens was so open, you know, it gives The Last Jedi some justification on why you would want to, like, subvert the expectations of where the story is going to go. But The Rise of Skywalker had no excuse.
No, it had no excuse. It had, the whole story was like there. There's so many different things that could have been done. That would have
worked. And you know, again, they were trying to really help themselves out by saying, you know, we took everything from that was set up in Force Awakens and everything that was said in The Last Jedi and tried to just give it all one big conclusion. It's like, no, because you just retconned everything and you tried to literally steer it back to your the way you had it before you guys let Rian Johnson loose on the set. I say, you know, it's pretty much what they did. Again, Disney and their arrogance sometimes really gets to me. Mm-hmm. They do the same thing in Marvel too. But, you know, The Rise of Skywalker had one job. End the story. The ending was there. The Last Jedi, Rose says, Rose quotes the theme of the entire trilogy. We fight for what we love and not against what we hate. All The Rise of Skywalker had to do was take that quote and end the trilogy. You did not have to bring Palpatine back. You had Luke. Use Luke. The story was already flipped. You already had Kylo teetering back and forth. Continue that and end the movie. End the series. You didn't have to bring anybody back.
And that kiss at the end. My God, it was so awkward.
Okay, I did like the kiss, though. But you know this.
Of course.
Okay. A lot of people didn't know this. I didn't know, but I said Force Awakens. Look, I don't think I catched it the first time we watched it in theaters, but after watching, I said their relationship does feel romantic. And I felt verified in Last Jedi when they had that connection that Snoke gave them. And they were, but you know, I did feel like their connection was not brother or sister. I felt like they were romantically connected. And again, and I feel like sometimes they're reading way too much into the titles, but the title is supposed to give you what the movie is about. If you have a Star Wars movie called The Force Awakens, and the Force is awakening in two prominent people who are extra powerful, to me, that is an instant connection. So in Last Jedi, the way they were connecting, I was like, okay, this does feel more romantic. And at the end of Rise of Skywalker, I felt justified in saying, you know, it works for me. But like you said earlier, it just comes off as poor fan fiction and fan service. Yeah, there was definitely a better way of doing that. You could have definitely had a better way of doing that.
If they would have thrown like a little bit of romance here and there, fine. But it just seems like the whole time Rey was like, I hate you. Get away from me.
You killed the man I've known for one day.
Exactly. But at the same time, the man that was a father figure.
For one day.
Yeah. She valued him more as a father than he did. And, you know, he was his son. So,
true. But
she had definitive motive to dislike him. And for some reason, it turned into love after stabbing him in the chest with a lightsaber.
Well, I don't think it was directly love. I think it was just more of like a understanding. And
I feel like it was more of a like force dyad connection.
Which I love.
Like, which I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. But the thing is, like, there's plenty of things that have, like, when you think about a connection or like souls being like bonded through a like magical force of some kind, it's usually somewhat of a sibling or a twin type thing. It's not usually a romantic type thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're together to complement each other, but can also destroy each other, which that can work in a relationship type of way, but you have to portray it more that way directly, or else it's very easy to get misconstrued. And I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna agree, but I'm not gonna disagree, because I do. I feel like it works, but it could have been done better.
Mm-hmm.
I again, for me, understanding the metaphor of it and understanding what they were trying to do is good enough for me. Rather than, well, no, because I do care about story, but you know, so I'm gonna take that back, because I you know, again, film fan first, story is very important. No matter what kind of metaphors you have in there. But, you know, for me, as far, you know, as long as I understand where you're going overall,
yeah,
I can give you that pass. And, you know, but I do like the movie. I do enjoy watching it, but understanding it, I do not. I will say that. It is not a movie. Yeah. It is a movie not meant to be paid attention to. It is a movie to have on in the background while you're getting ready for something else. So, real quick, I want to give final thoughts on the whole entire thing. And I think it's, you know, this podcast is pretty obvious what we're talking about. We recommend to people. But I just want you to give, like, final overall thoughts on Star Wars. And then I'm going to ask you some bonus questions at the end, and then we'll end.
Okay. Overall thoughts on Star Wars. I think there's so much to the universe, like the extended universe, and then all the lore built up throughout everything. It's definitely a franchise that can live regardless of its pitfalls. Like what we've seen with The Mandalorian being extremely successful, and Clone Wars being brought back for another season, and maybe even ongoing after that, I'm not too sure. But it can definitely still survive, even if you hate any of the trilogies, really. You can still find something in there that you love, and that's kind of the best thing about Star Wars to me.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Star Wars, no matter where, you know, the universe is very expanded and wide. For a person like me, I solely stick with the movies. I couldn't get into any of the TV shows. I definitely wasn't going to read a comic or a book or anything. I heard good things. I heard the ending of Clone Wars was beautiful, and it complemented Revenge of the Sith very well. Yeah, it ended like a week or two ago as of this recording. Yeah. But I understanding. Despite that, for me, I do recommend all 9 of these movies to people. It's varying recommends. They're varying recommends to people, but I do, as a whole, recommend people, if you're interested in Star Wars, you know, you've lost track and you want to get reconnected, watch the movies. We have a friend. Her name is Savannah, also co-host. She has not seen a Star Wars movie, and a while ago she asked me if she should, I found it very hard. Knew you would say yes. I told her I find it very hard to say so because, one, it is 9 movies, but because you can't separate them into trilogies, she can easily just watch like 1 trilogy, and then wait a couple of months, and then watch the next trilogy, wait a couple of months, and watch another trilogy. They're everywhere. You can find them anywhere.
Right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure YouTube even has like them for free at this point. You know. Yeah. I'm pretty sure so, it was such a hard question for me to answer for her, but now after talking to you, Sheldon, I do say, you know, if you've never seen Star Wars, sorry for the spoilers, but if you have, you know, I think everyone has seen Star Wars, mostly everyone. I think people are having trouble reconnecting with it, especially after this sequel trilogy, because it was just so mixed. Half of the trilogy was saying, hey, remember what you love about Star Wars, while the other half was saying, we're changing Star Wars, and there was no real end to that argument. Overall, I say go ahead, watch Star Wars and judge it for yourself, understand it for yourself. All right. So, Shelton, really quickly, what do you think the future of Star Wars will be in the movies after the sequel trilogy?
Wow, that's a hard hitter. I think that definitely what we're gonna get is probably spinoffs, because the sequel trilogy didn't do overwhelmingly well, especially after the first one that came out. Disney's already been experimenting with TV shows, and The Mandalorian was extremely successful, so they'll probably end up doing more TV shows and expanding on that. I think Star Wars, again, it's a very frugal franchise. They could do anything out of what they have. They just gotta find the right resources and the right people to put it together. I think it's hopeful, even though the reception for the sequel trilogy wasn't great.
Yeah, I do look towards the future with hope. Again, I like all these trilogies. I do, you know, despite the weaknesses of the prequel and the sequel trilogy, I really do enjoy watching them. But so for me, this is a very hard question. I was thinking about it for like a month, what the future of Star Wars will be. There's tons of news stuff going around about, they are mostly working on TV shows right now because The Mandalorian was so successful. But I think as far as the movies go, I think we will get two things, either or. I think we'll either get a new trilogy or we are just going to get a bunch of spinoffs. And I think we're either going to, I think we're going to get a spinoff trilogy where each movie is just a different story, like they were trying to do with Rogue One and Solo. But I do think they could be trying to, because now that they ended the Skywalker saga, I do think that Disney is back to square one, and where they can finally do their own thing without feeling repercussion,
which is perfect.
I do think now that they have that ability, they can be arrogant and go all out as much as they want. I think we will see another trilogy maybe in the next, I will say, give it about 10 years. At the most 10 years. I don't know how soon they're going to be working. As of right now with coronavirus, there's nothing going on. Nobody's filming anything.
At all.
But I think they're going to let it live on TV, and I think we're going to get a few spinoffs. But as a proper story, maybe around 10 more years. They're going to wait for a whole nother generation, and then we'll finally get something close to original. What do you personally want to see from Star Wars?
Honestly, at this point, I would like to see a standalone trilogy, because spinoffs are nice, but as we've seen with Rogue One and then Solo, you know, Star Wars Story or whatever, the spinoffs didn't really work too well for them. Maybe it's because they, well, Rogue One was, people loved Rogue One, but people hated Solo pretty bad. So I think that their best thing would be to try and separate themselves from the older canon stuff, and still keep the lore, keep the some of the continuity as like little hints and nudges, Easter eggs and history, but definitely go out and do their own thing and make their own mark with Star Wars.
Yeah, I like that. What I would personally want to see, I completely agree with everything you just said. I think film-wise, I would want them to go, I think they have an opportunity to just go back to, I know you just said you didn't want to see them go back, but I think there is so much history and there's so much adaptation you could do with the rise of Darth Vader. By that, I mean, I want to see Jedi hunting Darth Vader. Maybe set it, give us a movie set maybe like a year or three after Order 66, and you just have him hunting down all kinds of Jedi, and then him just... we need a proper amazing Darth Vader movie of him in the suit.
Why didn't I think
that? And
that,
you know,
so good.
The best test footage for that is the end, the last like 3 minutes of Rogue One, where it's Darth Vader and they blend it with that original movie where he comes down the hallway. That is your movie. That is just have him, have him hunt, go planet to planet, hunting down Jedi. I think if you want to make it, if you want to give him an opposition, have it be, you can have it be like a band of Jedi who are just like banding together and be like, all right, we're fighting back, we're on the front lines. Or I would say give Vader like a you know how Thanos had those four people behind him, his children, quote unquote. I say give Vader like three or four, maybe like five little not henchmen, but like assistants to help hunt down the Jedi, and then do like you did with Force Awakens, have one or two of them defect, and you have this infighting. And that way you have, and you know, that way you have Vader pretty much, I would like to see Vader have like his whole little team just turn on him at one point, and it's just Vader fighting his own like little team, And I feel like that would be a great climax to have, just each one of them. You know how pretty much you take the ending of The Rise of Skywalker, how Ben was fighting his little troopers he had. I want to see that with Vader, yeah, but as like a full-on lightsaber fight. Like Vader versus four lightsabers who are, and they're all using the dark side. I think that would be really cool to have.
That would be pretty cool. And at the same time, if it is like right after the prequel trilogy, he's going to be getting used to the
severe. You have scenes of him just getting upgrades.
So he's not going to be 100%.
Yeah. You have him getting like Iron Man type upgrades to his suit and everything. Definitely. I feel like we need a proper Vader movie to really get Star Wars, to get the audience and the fans back on Disney's side. Go straight for that. Go straight for that Darth Vader movie. I also think that, again, you don't have to go, you can either go forward or backward with this one, but I would like to go back to Jabba's palace. And if you go back, I do want more. I don't want to say have Jabba have his own movie, but have him be the main villain of a movie, and just have like Tatooine, and you have pretty much. I'm trying to think like my best comparison for this. I would say make it like the Godfather in on Tatooine. Just have like, you know, like a gang war on Tatooine, and Jabba's like the main villain, and he's just, you know, show how much of a boss Jabba is, and then just end the movie with Han Solo walking in and being like, whoa, what happened here? Hey, I heard you had a job for us. And you know,
you really want to see
I love Jabba the Hutt. I think his whole little again, I'm not too versed in the lore. I don't know what he is or what kind of operation he does, but you know, I want to see like space gangster Jabba just slithering around, slapping people, doing drive-bys and speeders, like hiring sand people to murk like other people. I want to see mobsters in space. And you know, I feel like you could also take it to a different place. If you go in the future, have like you know, people running from whatever the Empire or the First Order turns into, or just set it in anywhere time, and just have it like a group of rebels who are stranded on Tatooine, and are, you know, they have no way out, but they're being cornered, and just have them go to Jabba's palace. It's all like dilapidated and empty, and you could just pretty much take the plot from a movie called Assault on Precinct 13, which is a John Carpenter movie. It's one of his earlier movies before, I think it's before he did Halloween, but it's the main plot of that movie is you have like police officers who are holed up in this precinct with like a small group of criminals. And you have like this massive like gang trying to bust into this precinct and kill everyone inside. And I feel like if you could take that and put it in Star Wars and just have like laser fights upon laser fights, it would work. It would work as a nice little movie. So that's just what I want to see. And that's just me. Last thing I have written down is just do another trilogy. And I like the whole dyad concept. Make it a triad. Do three Force users. Mm-hmm. Like we said earlier with Finn and Rey and Kylo, you could have easily made that a love triangle. I don't necessarily want to see a love triangle, but I would like to see how the Force... Oh, we've seen the Force work binary. We've seen it work on two sides. Let's add a separate point in there.
Right.
And let's see a triangle, guys. Let's get a Force triangle.
Someone in the
yes, middle. Yes, like, let's actually have a... Let's add drama back into Star Wars.
Honestly, yeah, because the sequel trilogy was definitely lacking drama.
So that's our Star Wars podcast. Shelton, thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you.
And this has been fun talking about Star Wars. More podcasts to come, guys. Thank you for listening to Civil Trials. Thank you for listening to Murder Board. Stay safe out there. Stay healthy. And we'll catch you again on the Murder Board next time. Bye.
Goodbye.